Morning again. We'll be going through Hosea chapter 11. Not sure how far we'll get, but we're going to start there. Before we go there, let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, your provision. Thank you for your word, Lord. Not my words, your word. Edify us, grow us up, teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hosea chapter 11, before I start, for those of you who haven't been in the Sunday school, and I got to give history, I can't just start in 11, I can, but we'd be done in 5 minutes. The whole reason for this book of Hosea was a prophet in the northern kingdom. The kingdom split. A guy by the name of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Became incensed, angry at Solomon because he set up an idol for one of his wives to worship. In reality, Solomon put up a whole bunch of idols for his wives to worship. Solomon told God, this is it, you're not going to see this split. But when you badmouth and talk to a king, bad things are going to happen. And Jeroboam, son of Nebat, knew that. What did he do? Well, he ran away. He ran to Egypt, and on his way down there, a prophet ran into him. And this prophet had a brand new cloak. Prophets and cloaks, they go together, but he had a brand new cloak. And he took it off and he ripped it up, shred it to 12 pieces. And he said, Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Remember that name, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, the righteous guy, right? Incensed. Thus says the Lord God, you're going to be ruling over 10 tribes, but yet I'm going to leave Judah, one tribe, Judah and Benjamin, southern tribe. Solomon died, and his son Rehoboam, remember in the Proverbs, my son, hear my son. I always imagine that's Solomon talking to Rehoboam. Rehoboam is now getting ready to rule over all, but not according to God, because Jeroboam came back into town. And all Israel came down. Rehoboam, your dad taxed us to death. He worked us to death. He's taxing us to death. Please ease up just a little bit. And Rehoboam said, go back and return to me in 3 days. I'll tell you what. So he went to the elders and said, what should I do? How do I answer these guys? And the elders said, why don't you speak kindly to them? And they will follow you, and they will be your people. But Rehoboam went to his little young punk buddies like him. What are we going to do, these people? You just tell them you're going to double their workload. My little finger's thicker than Solomon's thigh. After 3 days, guess what? God already gave the northern kingdom to Jeroboam, whether Rehoboam realized it or not. And got their answer. No, I'm going to make it twice as hard. My little finger's thicker than my dad's thigh. And Israel. Wow. Israel prophesied against itself. The northern now. We're in northern. The house of Israel. It used to be all of Israel, but now it's the house of Israel. 10 tribes in the north prophesied against themselves. And they said, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in this son of Jesse. Every man to their own tents, Israel. See to your own house, David. Now, why do I say that Israel prophesied against themselves right then and there? Hosea likes to play word games. We're not there yet, still part of the introduction. Remember Gomer, his wife, son Jezreel, right? God scatters, God sows, lo Ruhamah, no mercy, lo Ami, not my people. Hosea is full of these word games. So I looked up, okay, what does David mean? What does David mean? David. I know what it means. I can't remember what it means. So I looked it up. Love. Lover. I said, okay. They want no part of love. Jesus comes from David's line. Wow, that's a pretty far-reaching prophecy, and it doesn't matter. What is Jesse, this son of Jesse, this love, Jesse? And I've never looked up Jesse before, so thank you for the book of Hosea to play word games. Jesse, the existing one. Wow. Yahweh, El, the self-existing one. They prophesied against themselves. Anyway, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, decides he's going to do something. Now remember, he's incensed that Solomon put up an idol. First thing Jeroboam does is puts two golden calves, one at Beth-El and one in Dan. These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. Why did he do that? Because he did not want his people returning to worship God. Another early form of false teaching. All throughout the Bible, we're still worrying about it today. False teachers, false teachers. Worship these, this golden calf and this golden calf. When I was reading Kings to figure out if I could find out which king Hosea was speaking to, it was very difficult. He did not prophesy in a time of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. He prophesied under Jeroboam too. And for some reason, Jeroboam too regained all its lost territories. all the land lost to the Assyrians. Well, let me figure out more about this Jeroboam 2 guy. Because it says in Kings, and he did evil. He walked in the way of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. That's almost going to be like Judas Iscariot. Jeroboam, son of Nebat. The idol worship everywhere, the Baals, the partying, the just total debauchery. And I said, why is God prospering Jeroboam too? And then I ran into this one verse, and it had to do with Jonah, the prophet, that guy who went up to Nineveh, that guy who so obediently ran to Nineveh. Jonah. Now Jonah's getting thrown in the mix. Another prophet? Who I discovered under Jeroboam 2, these guys were prospering. Because God sent Jonah, and Jonah finally went to Nineveh and prophesied, 40 days and I'll destroy it. Well, Jonah was also prophesying to Jeroboam too. And all of a sudden, they gained all their land back. I said, for what? They're still worshiping the Baals. The fertility gods, the fertility goddesses. The children, the women. Went and served, I'll keep it clean. Trevor's here, went and served in the temples. Sons, daughters, husbands, wives. It was a mess. And God showed them grace. God showed them grace. Another reason we're in Hosea. About a month of Wednesdays ago, I run into it every once in a while. People say this angry, vindictive, capricious God of the Old Testament. We've heard that on Wednesdays. I don't know, maybe we've heard that. I've heard that when I was talking with a friend, sharing the gospel with them. Oh, the angry God of the Old Testament. No, the angry God. There's no angry God. We just saw His grace. The moment they stepped foot in the promised land, if it was a capricious, angry God, we wouldn't know about Israel because they wouldn't exist. Why? Because they sinned. The wages of sin is death. The law, Deuteronomy, the law, Leviticus. And yet, they still exist. Hosea. What's in a name? What's in a word? Hosea. Hosea means salvation. But before you get to salvation, because that's broken down to the prime, the primitive of the word, before that it's help, helper. We have a helper, the Holy Spirit, our salvation from the Holy Spirit. Chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to have to get used to my glasses again. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws. Verse 1, please. When Israel was a youth, I loved them. Man. Hosea likes to go back, history. Think about where you were. Think about what God did. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Does that sound familiar? It should. Anybody with the Cheater Bible, we can see. We can go back to Matthew 2. Out of Egypt, I called my son to fulfill prophecy. Out of Egypt, Joseph and Mary, Jesus was born. The wise men came, the magi came. Oh, where's this king of this king that was born? And Herod, he was mad then. You don't threaten my kingship. Yeah, go worship him, right? Go worship him. And when you're done, come back and tell me. I'll go worship him. And God warned Joseph in a dream, get up, take the child and the mother, and flee to Egypt. I always found it was interesting. You know, I'm a chucklehead, you know that. Get up, take the child, and the mother, and flee to Egypt. Herod's going to kill him. Herod seeks his life. Prophecy fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son, Jesus. The Father. Actually, we could still go back to Exodus. God told Moses, you say to Pharaoh, let my son Israel go. It's another instance on a witness of two or three, right? Verse 2, the more they called them, the more they went away from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals. The more they called them. The prophets are they. The more the prophets called them. Last year, when Willie gave his sermon, it was about Elijah, a prophet, in the northern kingdom. Go figure. He gathered up all the priests. Elijah. Right? He got depressed afterwards. But he showed them the Baals. These people are screaming out and wailing, cutting themselves. Oh, I know. Maybe your God's in the bathroom. Maybe he's taking a nap. And nothing happened. And he told the people, God or Baal? Who are you going to worship? All these years, all these prophets, the more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. A couple of chapters back, we find out there's Hosea is talking about the prophet is a fool and a man of understanding is demented. He wasn't talking about the false prophets. He was talking about the Elijahs. He was talking about the Isaiahs at his time. He was talking about Hosea. They were talking about all the whole line that they brought up. Stop. Come back. Stop. Come back. Verse 3, yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms. They did not know that I healed them. Most of us have children. Teaching them to walk, maybe hold their hands. I took them out of Egypt. And I was teaching them for those 40 years wandering. I was teaching them how to walk. And sometimes little kids fall down. They all fall down. Scuff up their knee and you love them. Hey, let me wash it. Let me wash it. In my house, it's rubbed dirt on it. Get up and go. But here, God's healing them. And they didn't know it was God healing them. Kept thinking, well, this is more like sanctification right here. Yeah, they were saved out of that land, right? Yeah, and then what? And then we got to learn how to walk. Learn how to walk in a manner pleasing to God. Not men, to God. And sometimes we didn't know God was maybe breaking us a little bit, just a little bit, so we would turn to Him. And we didn't know what was going on. I don't know, but it was I who healed them, and they didn't know. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love. Now they're mature, with cords of a man. How do you get a man to follow you? With bonds of love. No angry, capricious God here. He's reminding them of their past. I healed you. I taught you to work. I taught walk. I'm teaching you my statutes. I'm teaching you my ways. They're not burdensome, but they didn't know. With love. Verse 5. They will not return to the land of Egypt. But Assyria will be their king because they refused to listen to me. They're not going back to Egypt. Hosea is kind of odd in his structuring of sentence sometimes, and other people take liberty on this. They're not going back to the beginning. God's already removed them from that. They're going to Assyria for a couple different reasons. I'm not going to get into it now, but they're going to Assyria because they're relying on Assyria. God's calling them back through the prophets all these years. 200 years. years, Israel as the whole nation stepped over to Jordan. In the land of milk and honey. 200 years of stubbornness, of rebellion. The Baal worship. Every wicked thing you could imagine was happening up in there. Frying their children on the statues, on the burn up the children. That's a funny thing because those were fertility gods. Now, having a few children, I don't say this to be funny or anything, but children didn't happen every time something else happened. They would take their children and burn them? Boy, the land's really going to grow good this year. I'm going to have another child. Why? Because I went to the fertility god and I killed the fertility. I have a vivid imagination. I'm sorry, but it gets me. I can't point my finger at him. We're never told to point our fingers at these guys. Why? Because these things are written to instruct us. They refuse to return to me.
Verse 6. And the sword will whirl against their cities and will demolish their gate bars and consume them because of their counsels. Jeroboam too did evil, walked in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and yet they prospered. God gave him a chance. God's given him a chance. 200 years of chances. They want to squabble with their neighbors down south. They're fighting with them. They're fighting with the Arameans. They're fighting with Assyria. They're fighting with everybody. Where's the peace? I guess that's what their councils get. Death, destruction. Verse 7. So my people are bent on turning from me, though they call them to the one on high, none at all exalts him. The prophets are still calling. Hosea was the last prophet to the northern kingdom. Hosea knows they're going to go into captivity, and yet he's still saying, remember where you came from. Remember, come back, return, repent. That's just too easy. We don't want to. It's horrifying even more now that I think, we have no portion in David. Want nothing to do with this son of Jesse. Man. And yet God is still offering them repentance. None exalts him. The prophets are calling, come back. You see what's going on. Why not look down? Hey, look down south. At one point in time, you had a king who said, God, I've sinned against you. What shall I do? Reinstitute. Clean the temple up. Let's quit messing around and get back to God. Oh yeah, what happened? Well, they woke up in the morning. There was 185,000 dead Assyrians laying around. Oh yeah, it can't be that easy, right? Yeah. Turn to Jesus. No, it's not that easy. No, it's not. Oh yeah, it is. I'm sorry, I'm talking to myself. My mom and Linda will tell you, he does it at the house all the time. He's just sitting there walking around, yakking like a madman. It's what I do. I probably am a madman. Who knows? Verse 8. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? You think God's not touched? You think God has no feelings? You think God can't be saddened? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. I don't see the angry, capricious God of the Old Testament here. I see love. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? Ephraim, how can I surrender you, O Israel? Admah. Does anybody know where Admah was? Or Zeboim? Not you, Willie. There's a couple little towns
mentioned in Genesis. And the angels came, the angel of the Lord, they came to Abraham. Remember that? Shall we make known to Abraham what we're going to do? Yeah, Abraham's my friend. See, God let us know what he's going to do because we're God's friend. They were destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah. Completely destroyed. Nothing growing. No plants. No life. Nothing. The northern kingdom had broken every command. I say northern kingdom. Every command. Deserving death. My heart has turned over within me. My compassions. How does God call us? I got to get used to his glasses. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? I love you. We get to the New Testament, and we like reading John 3:16, and we're all good because it's all, oh yeah, God loves me, he died for me, yay. It's not God's wrath that draws men to him. We can see it right here. I love you. How can I do this to you? God's a just God. Yeah. They should be dead. Yeah. This is our story. Got a shirt. God got me. I'm glad you wore that shirt. God got me. In the New Testament, sometimes I hear the pastor saying, "For God so loved the world." Put your name there. "For God so loved Wes that he gave his only begotten son. That if Wes would believe in him, he would have eternal life." And nobody remembers the next verses where it says, "For God did not send his world and son into the world to condemn the world." We're already condemned. See, we didn't get good and come to God. How do I give you up? How can I give you up, Wes? How can I surrender you, O Israel? Man, he loves us. It's the love of God that calls men. He has every right. And this is grace, not getting what you deserve. This is mercy, getting what you don't deserve. I have a verse in the New Testament, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit." Get rid of all anger, wrath, slander. Why? Because it grieves God. Why? God doesn't badmouth us. He's not angry at us. He's not humored by our sin by any means. It's God's love that draws a man to him. Or a woman. It's not wrath. It's not a capricious God of the Old Testament scaring you into God's arms. It's His love. Wow, God's love. Look around. Look around. We're the product of God's love. Not God's wrath, God's love. By grace we are saved through faith. God's love. I don't know what you guys did. You know what? I know what I did. I know what I'm forgiven of. I can't point a finger at them guys. I know where I came from. Hosea. We're Gomer. Today the church took Gomer's place. I hate saying that. Whatever. It's not an individual condemnation or anything on anybody. But God's calling us. It's hard to fight against God's love. Ask me how I know. I know. I've done it a majority of my life. It's exhausting. It's exhausting fighting against God's love. It's in front of you everywhere you go. You wake up in the morning, you see the trees and the birds. In the beginning, God created. Everywhere you go, you see God's fingerprint. Everywhere you go, He's calling you. It's God's love. It's hard to fight against God's love. You trip over Jesus on the way to hell, right? The wages of sin is death. It's hard to fight against God's love. I look back and I see that now. God got me. No, He didn't understand me. Don't let me put it that. No, God got me because of His love. Because of His forgiveness. You can really forgive me? How can I give you up, O Israel? There's grace. How can I surrender you? How do I utterly destroy you? I don't, because my heart is turned over within me and all my compassions are kindled. Whew. I don't see that angry, capricious. It's not there. It's a myth. It's a myth. That's a false God. God doesn't change. He's immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That angry, capricious God does not exist. He's a God of love. Adam and Eve sinned. I know I love you. Here, I'm going to clothe you. We're going to institute this sacrifice. But I got to take you out of the garden. Why? Because I love you. And if I don't, you're going to eat off the tree of life. No angry God there. Verse 9. I think I just ruined that. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again. I will not destroy Ephraim again. I said that makes no sense. You didn't destroy him yet, so I looked up another version. I will not return. The plot thickens. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. Jesus coming back. He's not returning to destroy Israel. Why? For I am God and not man, the Holy One in our midst. And I will not come in wrath. Where two or three are gathered, He's here. In Him we live and move and breathe. He's here. The angels gather. He's here. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows our thoughts. And yet, guess what? We're still here too. I will not execute my fierce anger. Starting to get the picture that God is not an angry, judgmental, capricious God in the Old Testament. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim. I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst. And I will not come in wrath. That's twice. That's twice. Verse 10. He's not going to come in wrath. They will walk after Yahweh. He will roar like a lion. Indeed he will roar. And his sons will come trembling from the west. You want a neat little Bible study now? Where's Assyria? They were carried up in there. They didn't go into exile. They never came back. But Assyria's to the east. They were spread out. They're coming from the west. What is that, the United States? We're west. Is that Western Europe? Could be. Could be. Verse 11, they will come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. There's Assyria. And I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. That's God's promise to settle them back in the promised land. It's happening. Why? It's going to happen. I think it started to happen. It's not fulfilled yet. Don't go there yet. And I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. That reminds me of a bumper sticker from the 70s. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Does anybody remember that one? Has anybody seen that one? There only needed to be two lines. God said it. That settles it. And I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. I don't see angry here. Verse 12. Ephraim, I'm going to go back. Ephraim was the largest, the most predominant, wealthiest tribe in the northern kingdom. So when we see Ephraim, Hosea is referring to the entire northern kingdom. Ephraim surrounds me with lies. And the house of Israel with deceit. Judah. Yeah, you're also unruly against God. Judah lasted a little over 100 years. And they were warned. Didn't you learn? Apparently not. Even against the Holy One who was faithful. God didn't destroy him. God is not like one of us. He's faithful. God doesn't lie. He's faithful. He loves us. I love you. Wow. you died for me? You didn't die in my place because I couldn't have done it. I wasn't the spotless lamb. Behold, the lamb who takes away the sins of the world. He took our sin upon him on the cross. On the witness of two or three, I'm sorry, it just popped into my head. How many Abraham and Isaac went up the hill, right? Here, a boy carried a wood. 3 days journey, 3 days. Isaac is good as dead. Right? It's pointing towards Jesus. Crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. There's the other one. Where? Jonah. There's that guy again. Jonah in the belly of a fish. 3 days and nights. Humor me for a minute, please. Watch this. And this is George. I think George is going to know when we're going through Proverbs, we hit the wisdom one. Right? The wisdom. And I said, this is Jesus. I remember years ago, I ran Bible open, look, poster, look, it's Jesus. He's going, no, you can't. No, that's wisdom personified. I don't care. He was there from the beginning of the world. No, Wes, settle down. Don't misuse. I don't care. I'm sticking with it. I see Jesus all throughout that one. Here's another one. Matthew took liberty. Remember, at the very beginning, out of Egypt, my son, I called my son. He quoted from Hosea 6. Here we go. Hosea again, 6. I'm sorry I went there. Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he's going to bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. We can't live before God without Jesus. So I'm sticking to it. Call me wacko, I don't care. Why not? I probably am. The third one. God's love. Draws men to him. Not wrath. We're going to try something different. I know it's a little bit early. I want to close out with a hymn. Some of these hymn writers just absolutely baffle me with how they can get just theology. You write the whole Bible in a 5-minute song. I don't understand. God says, I love you. You want to close this out in prayer too, Remember?